Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 6 in the Common English Bible. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like a howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native tongues. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
200 years before the birth of Christ, coal mining started in China. Then about 800 years later, the first windmill was constructed in Iran. Human beings have always needed power in their lives. For centuries, they have pulled it from both the ground and the air. Around the year 1700, the Maori people of New Zealand began to use geothermal power for cooking and for heating. In 1868, the first modern solar power plant was built. We tend to think that geothermal and solar power as being new technologies, but in truth, they're actually really not new at all. In 1859, the first oil well was drilled in Pennsylvania, fueling the gas-powered automobile developed by Carl Benz, yes, of Mercedes-Benz. In 1885, that happened. Oil and gas are the heart of the internal combustion engines that have propelled cars and trucks ever since. In 1908, the Black Hawk Generating Station was constructed in southern Wisconsin. Perhaps the Snyders know about it. I don't know. I'll have to ask them about it when we're done. Eventually, it generated electricity with power supplied by natural gas. And then in 2010, the plant was decommissioned as a generating station. But it's still, to this day, used as a powerhouse, just a very different kind of powerhouse. The nearby college took over this Riverside power plant and turned it into a student union building focused on recreation and wellness. If God's calling, answer it, please, because you don't want to miss God's call. The college retained the architectural features of that building and the industrial equipment from the original Black Hawk Generating Station. But now the building itself generates physical fitness, personal connections, and healthy living. This new facility is not designed to benefit just the students and the faculty and the staff. Instead, the college wanted to also use the building to reach and connect with its community. So a new pedestrian bridge and publicly accessible elevator linked the student union to a number of local paths and parkways. These new ties are generating a more vibrant set of community connections between the students, the campus, and the community. And what is the facility called? The Powerhouse. A former power plant is now creating a whole new kind of energy for Beloit College and the community around it. Does it sound familiar to you at all? Beloit College? Yes, maybe a little bit? Okay. Well, I'll give you a test all about it when we're done. I'm just kidding. A new type of energy was also discovered on the day of Pentecost. The followers of Jesus were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate a Jewish holiday called Pentecost, or the Festival of Weeks. It was a harvest festival, but it was also a time to give thanks for the gift of the law to Moses sent on Mount Sinai. The people of God were thankful for this law, which gave them the inspiration and the structure for their lives. The law was, in many ways, their historical power plant. But then when the Holy Spirit entered a house full of Jesus' followers, it created a new kind of powerhouse. It filled the apostles with new life, enabling them to communicate with a diverse group of people, speaking boldly to a large crowd and to fulfill the prophecy of Joel. The Spirit generated a new, energetic, and vibrant community of faith, which was connected in new ways with the surrounding community. The apostles needed power, and they got that power in an unexpected way that day. Today, we're beginning our sermon series called Looking Back. I'll be taking a deeper look at our welcome statement that we say every single service. Mountain Vista United Methodist Church is a Christ-centered community drawn together by the Holy Spirit to experience, express, and expand God's love through Jesus Christ. Reverend Olga, was that created in your time here, or was that created before or after? Well before your time. So you guys have been saying it for quite a while now. You're very well versed, one might say, in the statement, Mountain Vista United Methodist Church is a Christ-centered community drawn together by the Holy Spirit to experience, express, and expand God's love through Jesus Christ. We say it every single week, but what does it really mean? I think sometimes we say the Lord's Prayer. In fact, your pastor sometimes says the Lord's Prayer without thinking about it, and he sometimes thinks about what's happening next, and whoops, I said the wrong words. So let's think about it today. What does our welcome statement mean? This week, I want us to consider what it means to be drawn together by the Holy Spirit. Why do we come to this place each and every single week? It might be the people that we sit by. It might be the songs that we sing. It might be because we have nothing better to do in our schedules. It might even be the familiar smells of the sanctuary to which we have grown accustomed that keeps us coming back. Or maybe it's that we heard the potluck was happening after worship. All of these are good reasons. I assure you, every single one of these is good reasons. We trust that God can use any and all of these reasons for people to come here to worship. If we want Mountain Vista United Methodist Church to be a vital and important ministry in our community and in our lives for years to come, beloved church, a place that makes an impact on people, we must also recognize that the Holy Spirit has led us here to this place. The Holy Spirit has empowered us to gather today. Without the Holy Spirit's presence, we simply become a social club. We become a place to hang out and a place to be comfortable. God comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable when we are attuned to the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Acts tells us that when Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, or in a Honda, in some translations, it's in one accord. I'm not sure how all those people fit in one tiny little accord, but they did. Just kidding. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be flames of fire alighted on each of them. Whoops, our power got turned off somehow. I'm going to turn it back on because it looks really cool. So give me one moment. Carry on. Except our fire is really special. It glows in different colors. And then it goes red. They were together, and they saw what seemed like flames of fire alighting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak, from Acts 2, 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit came with a sound like a howling of a fierce wind, it says. Like the wind from God that swept over the face of the waters on the very first day of creation from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Like the breath that Jesus breathed on his disciples when he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," from John chapter 20, verse 22. Wind, breath, spirit, pneumos, some translations say. They are all the same creative and life-giving gift from God. "Spirit is the power of life that is in you," said Presbyterian author Frederick Buechner. "When your spirit is unusually strong," he continues, "and the life you the life in you unusually alive, you can breathe into other lives, become literally inspiring." That's exactly what God did on Pentecost. God breathed and continues to breathe into creation, says Buechner. God's breath filled the apostles and inspired them, giving them the ability to go out and to speak about God's deeds of power to people from every nation. The apostles were suddenly able to speak in a variety of tongues, and the people were amazed and perplexed. God created a powerhouse on Pentecost which gave the apostles a source of energy that day and henceforth. With the Spirit, there is no debate about climate change that like that of the earthly fuel sources we have today. And unlike the wind of the air, it is always blowing. Unlike geothermal power, it does not require drilling. And unlike solar, it does not rely on the light from the sun. All we have to do to receive the Holy Spirit is to ask for it, to acknowledge that it exists, to receive it, and then to use it faithfully. A prime example of the Spirit's power is found in the speech of the Apostle Peter. This is the very same Peter who had just recently he had denied Jesus three times, saying, "I do not know him. I'm not a follower of Jesus. I do not know what you're talking about." Luke 22:57-60. But once the Spirit came to him, he was filled with the new energy, new life, and new courage in communication. Later in the very same chapter of Acts tells us that Peter addressed the crowd that day. The Holy Spirit gave Peter the courage he needed to stand up to the skeptical crowd who questioned if they were drunk, and he spoke boldly about what God was doing in the world based on the prophecy of Joel. The prophet had said that God would pour out the Holy Spirit on all people. Peter and the apostles were energized not by electricity generated by coal-fired power plants or wind farms. No, their energy came from a new kind of powerhouse in which the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in diverse languages and to offer a word of gospel hope to all that would listen. Like the powerhouse of Beloit College in Wisconsin, this new life was not dependent on technology. Instead, it was generated by personal connections with God and with people, and it was spread through conversations and collaboration with the community. Such spiritual power is needed today if we are going to be a part of a church that brings life and joy and hope to the world. Peter told the crowd that God's Spirit was going to change their lives for the better, and I say amen to that, beloved church. New visions are being seen by Christians all over the world, but Christians such as Shane Claiborne, who wrote in his 2006 book, The Irresistible Revolution, that the early Christian church was known as, quote, the way. It was a way of life that stood in glaring contrast to the world. Of course, everyone was forewarned that in this kingdom, everything was backward and upside down. The last were somehow first, and the first were somehow last. The poor are blessed, and the mighty are cast from their thrones. Convinced that the Christian life is life-giving, Shane and a group of friends moved into a small row house in a poor section of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in 1997. Since that day, they have shared food with folks who need it and run a community store out of their house. They have reclaimed abandoned lots and planted gardens in the city. They have rehabbed abandoned houses and have made connections with people in prison and on death row, as we have been instructed by Matthew 25:36. I was in prison and you visited me. Shane and his friends have seen a vision for a new way of life, a new way to live, a Christian way to live. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit and directed toward changing the world for the better, beloved church. Men and women have been drawn to the way, the very exact same way that Saul was out to destroy in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, in the earliest days of the church. They have tapped into a source of power that comes from beyond themselves, a power that is not found primarily in programs, policies, and institutions, but in the Holy Spirit. This power is an energy source that can keep people it can keep people burning with the love for God and for people around them, while radiating warmth and light in a cold, dark world. We are a part of the Christian way when we turn our church into a powerhouse, beloved church. By doing this, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, an energy source that gives us both the courage and the ability to connect with people around us in life-giving ways. In the days ahead, I leave you with this charge. I leave you with the charge of thinking through that unique fabric, that unique tapestry and identity that is Mountain Vista United Methodist Church. What is it that makes us unique from all other places? What can we offer that is so desperately needed and that no one else is as uniquely equipped to offer as Mountain Vista United Methodist Church? Send me your thoughts, beloved church. Amen.